All right, take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter number 26. Isaiah chapter number 26. Let me remind you, we have been talking on Wednesday night about the subject of growth. Growth in our Christian life. It is so hard for me to believe. This is lesson number 24. We have discussed 24 areas of growth, or within that 24 lessons, ways of growth and hindrances to our growing. Tonight, the lesson is called Growing Your Ability to Handle Depression. Growing your ability to handle depression. You know, sometimes people struggle with depression, if you will, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. They do a pretty good job of covering up. They tend to be able to be depressed in private. And I think everybody goes through little spots where they struggle some with their spirit or their attitude. But I think I can help you tonight, and I want to help you tonight. Isaiah chapter 26, why don't you stand with me? I'm going to read the first three verses of Isaiah 26. I'll read it out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Look back at me, if you will. While you're right there, and I'm able to say this, that's a song. It said this is a song. There was a song being sung. In verse number one, it's talking about a strong city and walls for bulwarks. Then in verse number three, it says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, walls are for protection. It's funny how he says, we're going to give you walls for protection. And a couple verses later, he talks about your perfect peace. He's talking about your emotional stability. I think God wants you and I to be protected, not just physically. I think he'd like to see us have protection emotionally. I sometimes find myself struggling more with my emotional safety than I struggle with my physical safety. Now, we all live in a country where that might be the case a little more. Now, there's some places you go, you struggle in fear of both your physical safety and your emotional safety. Thank God for America and our military and our safety. But you know what I want for you? I'd like for you to have some walls built that will provide for you some emotional safety. And we're going to talk about growing your ability to handle depression. I think everybody figures out some ways to handle some depression, but I think tonight I'll give you some ideas on how you can grow at it. I think let's face it, when that's our suppressed spirit, when hardship comes and I don't know any other way to put it, we just start to struggle with depression. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you had a few ideas? Well, how can I get myself out of this? How can I minimize this? How can I battle it? Tonight, I think I can give you some of those things. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight. I don't think anybody in here is arrogant or full of outrageous pride. Of course, we all struggle with that some. I think, Lord, tonight, with our heads bowed, you see a humble group of people. We don't think we're perfect. We all struggle some in life. Sometimes we struggle with our attitude. Tonight, Father, help us. Take the teaching and the sermon that you've given me. It's from your book. I believe it's your sermon. I just want to deliver it in such a way that it will love on and help and strengthen your people. Bless us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, somebody here really needs this. We'll never figure out who. It might be the person tonight with the largest smile on their face who in private struggles with their spirit. Bless them. Bless us all. For those that are happy right now, might they use this as preparation for struggles they may face emotionally in the future. Bless us, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. Uh, I am not a depressed person. I don't think I'm depressed by nature. I can stay pretty upbeat. Most people that have known me through the years have seen me go through battles, and I try pretty hard to keep my spirit up. But I can admit there have been times when, boy, my spirit's down. And I've struggled a little bit here and there with my attitude, if you will, or that depressed possibility in life. Everybody goes through troubles in life. Everybody goes through suffering in life. We can't always control the events that come upon us. Some events we can, but we can control the way we respond to the events. See, I can't stop bad things from happening to me. Now, some of them I can, let's face it. Some of my issues are self-inflicted. Okay, I did that. But there's a lot of things come upon us, and we couldn't stop them because we didn't bring them on. I might not be able to stop certain bad things from happening to me, but I can control the way I respond to those things. A few weeks ago, I was counseling with someone from out of town, and I said they'd gone through a terrible situation. And I said, if you're destroyed, it is not going to be because of what happened to you. If you're destroyed, it's going to be because of the way you responded to what happened to you. I can't stop rough things from coming in my life all the time. But I do have a certain amount of control on how I respond, how I react, how I behave as a result of them. God makes a wonderful promise to us here in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Notice it said perfect peace. Wow, what a promise. And hey, that's not just peace, by the way. I like peace. Perfect peace? Good gravy. That's a cut above. And I like gravy. But I'll tell you, perfect peace, perfect peace. Now, to who? And he describes it. He said that he can keep us in perfect peace. To those whose mind is stayed on thee. And then he makes another statement, because he trusteth in thee. So he said, I can provide a thing called perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me and if you trust in me. So if we will keep our thoughts on God and his word, we can have perfect peace. You don't have to crack up when the incidents of life hit you. And let me tell you this, and I want you all to understand this. I want to help you and love you when something happens to you that you had no control over and it hurts you and your spirit is struggling. I want you to know this also. I want to help you and love you when you brought it on. I'm just not going to be your pastor when the hurt came from somebody else. I want to be your pastor and help you when you caused it. Because whether you're bleeding because of someone else or you're bleeding because of you, I care that you're bleeding. And I just want to help you. And so you don't have to worry, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand up here and throw a fit at times. Like, don't do this. Whatever you do, don't do this. It'll ruin your life. Now, you don't have to be afraid. Once you go do it and you need help, you better give me a call. I'm not going to take 20 minutes and say to you, you idiot, I told you not to do it. I'm not going to do that. Once you made the mistake, and the devil's pretty smart. He's pretty smart. Once you make the mistake, I'm just going to help you. Whether it's self-inflicted, others inflicted, or life inflicted, I think we all need somebody that's going to love us and help us because we're bleeding. And that's what I want. That's what I want to do, and I think that's what we should all do. If we will keep our thoughts on God, his word can help us develop that perfect peace. But he said, because he trusteth in thee. So there's keeping your mind on God and trusting God are a couple of the promises in that perfect peace promise. Trust his promises. Trust his word. Let me tell you this. You don't have to have a nervous breakdown. You can cancel it. You don't have to have it. Let God doctor you through the hard times. Everybody faces a little depression. Now, you don't have to admit to it. But pretty well, I think everybody faces a little depression here and there. But you do not have to be a depressed person. Does, you understand? You're going to have little bouts with it here and there, but you don't have to live there. You don't have to stay there. So if you say, well, preacher, I struggle with depression here and there. Everybody does here and there. Don't live there. Don't make it your norm. And it doesn't have to be your norm. Depression may visit, but it does not have to stay. I love what my college president said many times. I love quoting it. You'd think that it was he was so intelligent, it would be this outrageous statement. But he said, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest there. Okay, bad thoughts, dirty thoughts. You might not stop all that from popping into your head, but you don't have to let it stay there. Depression. I don't think any of us could head off all those little hits that you take that can tend to make you feel hopeless or depressed. So you can't stop some of those things from dropping by to visit you, but like the mother-in-law, you... Oh, I am so sorry. But out of all nights to say something like that. But like the mother-in-law, you hope she's just passing through. I'm sorry, Tom. Brother Nofsinger, you're laughing more than anybody. Now, you're going to get me in trouble. You get the concept. A bird may land on my head. It does not have to be allowed to build a nest there. Depression will visit all of us for a touch here and there. But that depression does not have to be invited into your weekly or your daily life. And if you let it go too much and too long, it gets comfortable there. And it wants to move in, and it wants to control you instead of you control it. Now stay with me, and I'm going to give you some things that will help you with it. I want us to grow in our ability to handle depression. First of all, let me say, number one, trust in the Lord's goodness. Trust in the Lord's goodness. God is good. And what do we say? All the time. Let's try it. God is good. Try it again. God is good. God is good. God is good. You know what some of you need to do? When you start to have a hard time, you say, God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. I think people that entertain or have a little extra prolonged depression, they've forgotten God is good. All the time. Kind of slips out of your grasp for a moment. It's out of your mental reach for a moment. But somebody can come along and say to you, come on, now God's good and you know it. And you say, well, you know what? God is good all the time. Learn to trust God's promises. And one of his promises is he's good all the time. God always does right concerning us. And some of you might doubt that, but I just need to let you know, I work for him. I've watched him up close. God is good all the time. He always has your best interest in mind. Now, you don't have to understand all of your circumstances on the spot, but one thing you have to do is trust God and know that he knows what he's doing. You say, what I'm going through is kind of depressing. I kind of don't know what's going on. Okay, we've all been there. With your health, you say, I kind of don't know what's going on in this situation with my job. What's going on? I can't figure all this out. Okay, I understand that, and there are a lot of things that you and I don't have control over, but I know somebody who does have control over it, and he has your best interest in mind, and so you might not be able to figure this whole thing out, but God is good, and God has an eye on the thing, and you just need to say, you know what? I can't see exactly what's going on, but I know someone who can see what's going on, and he's not going to do anything to hurt me. I guess I'll be okay. Parents believe that. There are times when kids can't figure it out, and parents say it's going to be okay. And the kids say, I think I'll relax in that. My Heavenly Father knows what's going on, folks. Psalm 56:3 says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I want you to trust the goodness of God. Trusting the goodness of God will help you to battle depression. It'll help you to overcome it. If your depression is attached to fear, trust in the goodness of God. Listen to this verse. Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, we have a certain amount of confidence in each other. It's part of the functioning of society. It's how we live together in families. But I want you all to know, and this sounds like it's an obvious, and it sounds almost hyper-spiritual, man can't always get you where you need to go and give you what you need to have and help you with what you need help with, but I know somebody who can. Many people get depressed and they're let down because their confidence was more in man than God. And I need to tell you, you got to have ultimate confidence in God. Ultimate confidence in God's goodness. Proverbs 16:20 says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. There is telling you, if you'll trust God, trust that God's always good, trust that God knows what's going on, trust that God has your best interest in mind, it says, happy is he. Well, depressed people aren't usually happy people. So something's missing. And really, when we're depressed, our trust in God's goodness is waning. Is that simple? Do you understand it? That's truth. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need. Now, you got to understand something about that verse. It didn't say God would supply all your want. See, our problem is we want, we can't have, or we don't get, and we feel cheated, and we're depressed about it. It's not all our want. It's all our need. You say, but I don't think he is. I think he has. You just need to accept what you have is probably what you need at the moment. Because if there was more needed, he would provide it. But we don't want to live there. That's too obvious. No matter what you're going through, just remember this and it'll help you. God is good. That's his promise. Number two. I don't know any other way to say this, but I think it will help you if you'll realize that life is not perfect. Expect trouble in life. And I don't mean a morbid, everyday freak out that, oh, this is the day, the sky's falling. No. Folks, face reality. We live in a sin-cursed world. Rough times are going to come. Realize trouble comes to everybody. Difficulties are a part of life. Don't let trouble overly surprise you. You should know that troubles come and go. Now, if you read your Bible, all the way through the Bible, troubles would come and go, and come and go, and come and go, and come and go, and come and go. John 16:33 says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's what God said. So God's not, hey, God told us, as long as you're alive in this world, you're going to have tribulation. I think God's saying, keep an eye on that right there. Just keep an eye on the fact that you live in the world and there's going to be some tribulation. Acts 14:22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Guess what? We one day are going to go to the kingdom of God because we're saved, but there's going to be some tribulation between point A and point B. All right, and we know that. And it even says much tribulation. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many afflictions. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know that if you're not careful, you'll get this 24/7 blissful idea, and you'll forget that there's a devil, and you'll forget that we live in a sin-cursed world, and if you're not careful, your expectation is going to be like the TV evangelist that's everything's health and wealth, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and they're love God, love the devil, it's all just going to be just fine, send me your money. But wait a minute, we know better than that, because the devil is out to cause us some problems. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There was trouble, but he said, I was not distressed. You say, what did that mean? Paul was facing trouble on every side, but he had not turned it into an unmanageable calamity. He said, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not freaked out. I'm not distressed. I'm holding it together. John 14:1 says, Jesus said to the disciples right before he went to heaven, and he said, I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to die. They're going to take me to heaven. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. What do you mean? Don't let trouble trouble you. Don't let trouble trouble you. I think this. I don't want you to live with the morbid thought that you will face trouble every waking moment of your day. But I do want you to do this. When trouble comes your way, I want you to take just a moment and say, you know what? Trouble is expected in this life. That'll just help you. People who don't expect trouble are emotionally caught off guard. So I think all of us just need to mature to the point where we say, I live in a sin-cursed world. Troubles are going to come my way, God promised. When it comes my way, I'm not going to say, I could have never imagined. You couldn't? You were told there could be great affliction. You were told you could be surrounded by difficulty. You were told that you needed to handle pressure and not be distressed. Why all the warnings in the Scripture if the possibility were not a reality? You've been around some older Christians, something harsh hits, and they say, the old devil rearing up his head again. You're going, it's the devil, it's the devil. And the older Christian says, that's just the devil. Doing the same thing he's been doing for years. Mature yourself and say, I don't think I'm going to get out of this thing without having some troubles. I can't keep the troubles from coming to me, but I can behave properly when they hit. That's your goal. So I said, number one, I said, if you want help with your depression, trust in God's goodness. He's always good, no matter what you're going through. Number two, expect trouble in life so it doesn't just totally shock you into emotional distress. Number three, control your thoughts. Control your thoughts. Isaiah 26:3, where the perfect peace was promised, it says, whose mind is stayed on thee? God promised perfect peace to whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, stayed on thee, stayed on what? Number one, it needs to be stayed on the fact that God's good all the time. That'll help you. But control your thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You ever heard someone say, you are what you eat? Just so you know, you more so are what you think. You are what you think. Control your thinking. Now, folks, let me tell you. God gave you a mind, and God gave you a Holy Spirit. God and that Holy Spirit can help you to control your thinking. And if you want not to have long-term depression, remember, the bird can land on your head. But you get control of your thinking. You do some of these things I'm teaching you. You don't have to go there and stay there. The bird does not have to build the nest on top of your head. Listen to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Notice, we're not just to think, we're to think on some specific things. They're positive things. By the way, that was Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, honest, just, pure, lovely. Listen to verse number 9. It says, the God of peace shall be with you. He promised in verse 8, if you would control your thinking and think on right things when the difficulty comes, in verse 9 he said, and the God of peace will be with you. He's describing himself as the God that provides peace. You say, well, I want him to provide peace. Here's the problem. So many people say, give me peace. And God said, you do your part, I'll do my part. I'll give you the peace. You do what I told you to do to get the peace. What is that? Control your thinking. Why don't you just give me the peace? God said, no, you do your part, I'll do my part. Now just give me the peace. Matter of fact, I'm going to be mad at you if you don't give me the peace. I asked for peace and you didn't give me peace. Now, if you don't have peace, it's not God's fault. You're supposed to do your prerequisite and God then will do His part. And He said, think on the right things and then the God of peace will be with you. Think on good things will produce good emotions. Thinking on happy things will produce happy emotions. Get your mind off your burden and onto the blessings of life. Keep your mind busy about the good things of your life. You know, many think themselves, listen to this, many people think themselves from a surface depression into a deep depression. You say, how did I get there? You thought yourself into it. It was surface. It started surface. And you thought the wrong way. And you just dug your hole deeper and deeper and deeper. You thought yourself into that dark hole. Again, I don't know how to say some of these things, but I know in my counseling, and I know through years of experience that what I'm telling you will work. I got to tell you, I think sometimes people pray too much about the negative in their life. And here's how you do it. Oh God, it's so bad. I'm going through so much. And it's just so hard on me, me, me. Oh, I can't take it. I can't do it. Now, look, I'm glad for you to pray. But you're mixed up. Your prayer revival is actually your pity party. Nobody understands. God sent her and said, I understand. You don't have to be like this. Y'all okay? It's called your prayer pity party, and you're the special person. Okay. So number one. Trust God's goodness. That'll help you with your depression. Number two, expect some trouble in life so it does not surprise you and catch you totally off guard. And if it does surprise you, shake yourself and say, now wait a minute. I knew there was a devil and I knew life would throw you a curveball. Okay, I get it. I see it. Number three, control your thoughts. Number four, I like this. These are so simple. Number four, want to be happy. They say, oh, preacher, everybody wants to be happy. No, they don't. No, they don't. Some don't want it. Some enjoy their misery. Mrs. Owens has a fantastic lesson that she teaches ladies. It's called Happiness is a Choice. Proverbs 16:20 says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Here, you need to handle your touch with depression wisely, so you can be happy. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But you gotta take your medicine. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. It says always. Even when we're being persecuted, God said there's a way to rejoice. It's not that you're happy you're being persecuted, but you're still saved. God's still alive. The Bible's still God's book. The Holy Spirit is still powerful. Heaven's still our home. We're not going to hell. Yeah, you might need to get your blessings list together. Put it right by your curse list. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Christians are to be joyful. You know, some enjoy misery. Now, somebody here, you're going to get your feelings hurt, and you're going to think I'm talking to you, and I am. Listen to this. Some enjoy misery because it gets them attention. And by the way, we'll give you the attention because we love you. We'll give you that attention. But you need to understand that if you're not careful and you're just wanting attention and you're looking on the negative side of everything, you're going to mess your emotions up. Don't do that to yourself. You know that there are people who have faced your identical situation who have chosen to have joy in it? Don't choose to be depressed. And I know that's a simple thing for me to say, but I need to say it again. Don't choose to be depressed. I often in my counseling will say to someone, don't entertain depression. Sometimes we've been hurt and we say, well, I have a right to feel deeply about this. Okay, feel deeply, but you better separate feel deeply from depression. Would you like your life to be morbid? Well, this happened to me, and I really feel bad for me, and I think I'm going to dig a hole and bury myself in it and feel bad for me. That's wrong, Christian. God intended for you to have victory. Man, nobody's going to have 100% victory. Nobody. Nobody. But my point is, number four, want to be happy. Want to be. Let me go on. Number five, give it to God. Give it to God. You ever heard someone say, cast all your care upon Him? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Hey, you know what you can do? Give your burden to God and let Him worry about it. Give God the problem. You say, this problem is so big, I can't solve it. Okay. Give it to God. Let Him solve it. Trust the good God of heaven to handle it for you. One morning, I got in my car and I was in a hurry and I had my coffee and I didn't have a lid on it. I know better. I carry a lid on my coffee just about everywhere I go, but I was in such a hurry I didn't have time to take 2 seconds and grab a lid. So I got in the car and the steering wheel, Mrs. Owens had been driving. Now, our legs are not the same length. When she drives, she pushes that seat all the way up. I mean, there's about this much room between the seat and the steering wheel. And I get in, I feel like I'm a vertically challenged person. I'm just, so I got to put it back. So I wasn't paying attention. She had driven the car last. I run out. I've got to get somewhere. It's very important. I need to help save the world. It's something. So I jump in with my coffee and bang, I get coffee all over my suit. I didn't. Wasn't much I could do. I went home. I went back in the house, changed my clothes, threw my suit in the car, and I took it down here to the dry cleaners. The dry cleaners just up the road down here. And I went in and I told the lady, I said, I got coffee all over my suit. And I said, I spilled it this morning. And she said, trust me. It's our specialty. I pulled away. Let me tell you something. When the messes of life come your way emotionally, God says, trust me. It's my specialty. I didn't know how to get that coffee out of that suit. If I would have tried my way, I would have thrown it in the washing machine. And then I would have really messed it up. I would have gone from bad to worse. And there's sometimes when you can't fix it, you go from bad to worse on how you handle it when you should have taken it to the emotional specialist, your true psychologist, God, the Holy Spirit, who can fix you from the inside out, not from the outside in. He's the great healer. He's the creator of the human body and the human mind. He's the one that has all power. He has all ability. He can handle it all. He can carry the weight of the universe on His shoulders. Why do you try to fix what you can't fix anyway? Why didn't you take it to Him and say, you know what? I spilled this on my life. Or somebody spilled it on my life. Help me. And He will. Let me give you something else. If you want to get through your depression, get close to God. Get close to God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and be purified your hearts, ye double-minded. That's verse 8. Now listen to verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Lift you up. I wonder what it's talking about. Well, if you're down, He can lift you up. What was the prerequisite? Draw nigh to God. Can I tell you that if you get close to Him, He's strong, He's full of love and peace and joy and goodness. Folks, I have to explain something to you. Sometimes our depression is a result of our sin. Now, not always. Not always. I think events in life, hardships and burdens come, but I do want to explain something to you. Some people, they might get a little confused at the difference between depression and conviction. If you're doing bad and you're feeling bad about it and you're bummed out about it, that's good. You're supposed to be bummed out about being a bum. Right? I mean, aren't we supposed to feel bad about doing bad? See, I don't feel bad about doing bad. You're supposed to feel bad about doing bad. So you got to understand. Now, if you do bad and you don't do something about it, you could find yourself going from conviction to depression. But on the surface, as a Christian, when you and I don't do good, we're supposed to feel bad. That's God's way of trying to keep us out of more trouble or deeper trouble. Let me give you a verse. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." God wants to strengthen you. God wants to settle you. But part of it is, hey, keep your sin confessed. Do you know you'll do better? Don't let that thing bother you. Do you know you'll do better in life if you'll keep your sin confessed? If you're feeling bad about your sin, and then you add to it an event of life, you add the two together, you're going to have yourself depressed. Keep yourself close to God. Stay in your Bible. Hey, if you're going through a time of depression, could I recommend that you read victory in the Bible? Read stories of victory. Read about Joshua winning the Battle of Jericho. Read about Gideon and the Midianites. Read about Elijah on Mount Carmel. Read about Jesus and the resurrection. So if you're struggling with depression, stay in your Bible. Get yourself close to God. Pray. But can I recommend something? Why don't you find some people that have some big burdens, and instead of your prayer becoming your own personal pity party, pray for other people that maybe have bigger burdens than you. That will lighten your load. Remove your spiritual disobedience. Get out there. Tell people about Christ. Make sure you're doing the right thing. You're tithing. Hey, and I'll tell you something else. A lot of people in life spend time depressed because they're not right with people. We're to be right with God. But you know, God, when he says he wants us, did you know God doesn't want you just right with him? God wants you right with him and right with the people. You say, but they're hard to get along with. Well, you can't make them like you, but you can like them. So make sure you're contributing to a right relationship with others. How they respond, that's their problem. But I'm telling you, get close to God. I think I have one more quick point, but listen. Growing your ability to handle depression. Number one, trust in the Lord's goodness. Number two, expect trouble. In other words, don't be totally shocked when hardship comes your way. Number three, control your thoughts. Number four, want to be happy. Number five, give it to God. It's his specialty. Number six, get close to God. Number seven, and this is the last point I'll give you tonight. Stay busy doing good for God and doing good for others. What can happen to us is we begin to have a little bout with depression. Our spirits go down, and if we're not careful, we pull into ourselves. We want to hibernate. We want to run, and we want to hide. And if you do a little bit of that, okay. But you can't stay there, because if you stay there, you're going to be too self-centered. You're going to be too self-absorbed. Don't be self-centered. Be others-centered. Don't be self-centered. Be God-centered. Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly and in heart, and ye shall find rest to your soul." Now, if you want rest in your soul, if you want rest in your inner being, it says, get busy. It said, take my yoke upon you. That's not an egg yoke. When he talks about taking the yoke, he's talking about get out there and pull the plow. Move forward. So let me tell you this. When you're going through a tough time, go to work. Keep your mind busy. Keep serving. Keep serving God. Keep serving others. Often when I know someone that is going through a difficult time, I'll say to them, you know what you ought to do? You ought to go down here to the nursing home and visit. They said, well, that doesn't have anything to do with my tough time. I said, I know, but there's somebody down there going through a tough time. I think if you'd take your eyes off yourself and go down there, you're going to feel better. And that's true. Visit the hospital. Pray for somebody that you don't even know. But get your eyes off of you. My pastor used to say this. Don't despair. But if you do, work on in your despair. The best way for me to say this is this. Most people must work their way out of depression. I really have not met anybody that's prayed their way out. So I'm just going to pray, and that's all I'm going to do. Well, you pray. I want you to pray. But you won't pray yourself out of depression. You'll have to get up and do the laundry, and that's what you're depressed about?
And look at all that laundry. It's just a mountain. Oh, Lord, help me.
And God said, woman, get up and go do the laundry. If you got to wash one dirty sock at a time, you work your way through this thing. And when I say work your way out of it, part of that is stay busy. Part of that is stay productive, keep your mind busy. And part of it is whittle at life. Just dig yourself out of this thing by moving forward, not backward. Don't park it and throw your prayer pity party. And that'll help you. You know, for us, Christians, born-again people, I feel bad for the world. Look, if everything falls apart on you and I, guess what? We have Jesus. We have heaven. The worst thing that's ever going to happen to us is going to happen to us down here. It's all uphill from here. Just picture their life, though. They're lost and on their way to hell. It's all downhill from here. The best the world's ever going to get is in this life. What a bummer. That's terrible. No wonder the world is full of depression. What do they have to look forward to? The occurrences in this sin-cursed life. Hey, and we're supposed to enjoy this life, and I do, and you do. But what I'm trying to say is look at the world. Do they have a Holy Spirit to turn to? No, not when they're lost. What he wants to convict them of is just get saved. Do they have a preacher to teach them something like this? No. No. That's why they run to the liquor and to the drugs, and that's why they run to the immoralities of life. Huh. I am so glad I'm a born-again Christian. I have a good life, but guess what? I'm going to have a great life. A lost person, you can't talk to them about what. Isn't it going to be great in eternity? They're thinking, what? What? No wonder they're depressed. But God gave us ample reason and instruction on how we don't have to live like that. You can't stop that bird from landing on your head. But you can keep him from building a nest there. By doing these seven things. And some of you probably ought to get this CD. And you ought to listen to it. You might even need to jot it down, stick it in the front of your Bible. Say, these are the things I need to do when I feel myself slipping into that depression mode. And help yourself. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment we'll have an altar call. I think all of us could use this in one way or another. Maybe you're struggling right now with some depression. You say, I need it now. I needed something that you spoke of immediately. Maybe there's some of you, you've come out of a depressed situation and you're able now to look at it and say, you know what, I should have handled some things differently. Oh, but let me say to everybody in here, especially some of you that are younger and you've not faced some of the real tragedies and hardships of life that come, you better use this and tuck it in your heart and in your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to need this someday. And you will. Who here tonight would say, I believe God has given me something tonight that's going to help me. And I'll raise my hand and let God see it. I think I've got something that's going to help me. I can apply this in my life. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call if you need to come and pray. And look, if somebody comes to pray, it doesn't mean they're depressed. Maybe they've got a relative that's going through a tough time. Maybe they're just coming to pray because they need something special from God. But if you need the altar, it's going to be open. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Do you need the altar for a moment? Oh, that depression, it can come our way. The hardship can come our way. The trials of life. Just work your way through it. Remember, God's good all the time. And though you don't understand or you can't figure it all out, God understands. He's got your best interest in mind. Expect some trouble. Don't let it always shock you. Control your thoughts. Think right things. Think positive things. Want to have joy. Want to be happy. See, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but you gotta take the medicine. Give it to God. He specializes in helping us when we face what we can't control. Get close to God. Get close to Him because of what He is, who He is. Also get close to Him because conviction somehow can make us feel bad about ourselves. And God wants us to feel bad about our bad. Don't forget that. Stay busy doing good for God, doing good for others, and just stay busy. Work through it. This is the last time through the song. God bless you, folks. Have